Hello? I know you're there. Look, I can see the lights of the TV. Please, I just want to watch the finale. Come on, guys, I'll give you a foot massage or anything.
Time to get your own fibre? Speak to Vox. Because for a limited time period, you can save up to 3,000 Rand in installation costs. And we'll send a technician to help you get set up.
Hello?
Go to vox.co.za. Get fibre to your home. Get free installation and activation. Open the door to endless entertainment.
T's and C's apply.
Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan MacLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm in Midrand today to talk to Isaac Mopatlane, who I don't think requires any introduction to Tech Central readers. Isaac is, of course, the former CEO of Business Connection, now BCX. You left that organization just over a year ago now, April 2017, Isaac.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Well, I had a baby.
You had a baby?
My wife had a baby. So we had an addition to the family. Of course, after I left, I got a four-month-old baby boy who I've named after my brother Benjamin. So, yeah, took a bit of time, spent time with family, got to travel a bit overseas, went to San Francisco, nice. Had a look at some of the tech companies, and of course got involved with CrossFit, which is a fintech play. And I'm a director on CrossFit.
CrossFit, of course, came out of the old UCS stable.
Some of the assets. Some of the fintech assets, which we took out of Capital I investments. And, of course, with Matthew Blewett, who ran M&A for BCX and left the building, he has a business called Multiply. And from that perspective, that's how the CrossFit business was set up.
Okay, so has that been a lot of your focus over the last?
Well, look, I think it's been quite interesting. It's interesting that you take a year off. I've had to also look at other assets which were non IT, non fintech, which has been quite interesting. And I've invested, of course, in a sports agency business, which is sport being one of my other passions. So I had time to dabble and have a look, but I think at the end of the day, you know, what you know is what you know. So kind of weaving myself back into the technology world that I fully understand. So
sure.
Hence, we've got Reinvest Technology, which holdings, which I formed with other partners who've come on board.
All right. So who's involved in Reinvest?
Reinvest, we are with Temba Gumbi. Incidentally, was also at BCX. So he's one of the shareholders and one of the directors. Lawrence Weitzman, who was previously our CFO at BCX, he also has come on board. Then we have an ex-asset manager who was previously with Investec, Jerome Lucas, who really looks after the sort of application and software development houses perspective and looking to do work around that. He's one of the directors, and Chris Luxburn, who's also a lawyer by profession. That's literally the Reinvest Technology Holdings.
All right. So what is the mandate of Reinvest?
Well, I mean, the intent is not to try build another organization with 9,000 people. I think collectively with the experience and expertise that we have, we're looking to do technology investments. And primarily concentrating on transforming those assets, revenue growth, particularly in those assets, risk and governance, and also helping them with formulating their future strategies and how they should position their businesses. And that's really the four pillars of why we invest in some of the technology companies that we will continuously to look to invest. And of course, BTSA is one of those assets we've just done an investment in.
Right. So we're at BTSA's offices today.
Yeah.
Is this the first investment that Randvest has made?
We have made investment in fintech, in a fintech business. As Randvest called QLink. We've also looking to potentially do an investment in Crossfin, which really it's a natural growth and it's a natural path for us going forward. So we certainly will be looking in the marketplace to make investments similar to what we're doing in BTSA.
All right.
But this is our first significant one that we've done.
And you've bought 100% of this business?
100% of the asset, yeah.
Okay. Tell me a bit about BTSA. What do they do? What does BT stand for? I presume the SA is South Africa.
Bridging Technologies. Yeah, it sounds like British S. Yeah, and it sounds like BTSA, like British Telecoms or something like that. No, it's not part of British Telecoms. That's with IO, but yeah, Bridging. Look, it's actually, they've been around for 35 years as a business. So it's a 35-year business that really built infrastructure. And really, I always say, infrastructure is not going anywhere. You know, they're the foundation of what you see in terms of Wi-Fi, some of the infrastructure that you see in corporates, in public sector. They've been doing it for 35 years. They've got an excellent service delivery pedigree behind them. And I think if you look at it, two things which we believe in, legacy infrastructure needs to be upgraded and new infrastructure needs to come on board. In terms of, so I think a lot of time people look at infrastructure today as commodity. We still believe, properly done, there is still a proper opportunity for BTSA and for Randvest to continuously invest in.
All right. So tell me a bit more about the product portfolio of BTSA. What type of products does it sell to the market? Who does it sell them to? What is the focus of the business?
Look, well, one of the areas is obviously is the bricks and mortar. In terms of putting that together, I think also around fire protection, the data center stuff that they involve. So it's really, really basic infrastructure that they get to. I mean, you know, digging up the trenches and ensuring that when the fiber operators, the mobile operators or the telco operators, they've prepared that kind of infrastructure going forward. So it is infrastructure at its elementary but key in building up in terms of that, and obviously the network component will be part of that going forward, but essentially that's what it is, a pure infrastructure play.
All right. And what's the opportunity you see here specifically?
Well, I think they've been quite strong in the mining sector, so I think we see opportunity in the corporate and public sector. I think there's been a backlog specifically in public sector, which we believe that the backlog has to be addressed in ensuring that government does deliver to its citizens. And part of that mandate is to ensure that you have a well-run infrastructure that allows you to do that. So we see a huge opportunity in that space.
Okay. And purely a product-focused company, are you looking to transform it in any way, perhaps to make it more of a services-focused business?
Look, I think at the moment, I think the plan is to help them formulate that it moves more to a services company going forward. But we do understand it won't happen overnight. I think the core of the business is in a good shape. It does what it does very well.
Yes.
And I think the key for us is also to look at collaborating with other partners and not necessarily build it ourselves from scratch. So I think we'll definitely, and we don't see ourselves as a competitor to mobile operators or telcos for that matter. We see ourselves more as a partner to the mobile operators, to the telco operators, to the big IT services businesses as well. So we're more of a partner to them than a competitor.
Okay. And with your experience and background in the IT sector, broader ICT sector, is that a big growth opportunity? I mean, you mentioned the mining sector.
But
your background's in ICT.
It cuts across. I think we see a huge opportunity in terms of that. And once again, I still stress that the importance of collaborating and working with other partners that will make BTSA going forward successful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who did you buy the business from?
Two major shareholders in the form of Eric Yordan and Bertie, who've been here. I mean, obviously, I think one of the considerations is that, they're not young men. So
okay.
I think it's I think it's preparing the business for the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of the big drivers is the fact that You know, they'll build a fantastic business for 35 years, and they see an opportunity. They'll still be involved in the transition period, but I think the key to it is the fact that, you know, they'll like the staff and the customers to be well looked after. And I think it's a question that we brought in a team of tech experts who've come on board to take it forward.
All right. So in some respects, it's a succession plan.
It's a more of a succession plan, yeah. Mm. And of course, I mean, it does have the elements of a BE to it, but it's more of a succession plan.
Sure. What is the BE of this company look like post-acquisition?
Level 2, and to be a level 2 empowered business.
Mm-hmm. Okay, which I presume is an improvement on where it was before.
Yeah, it was a huge improvement.
Okay. So, Isaac, what's your involvement going to be in this business? Are you going to be here on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I said to you, we're not looking to reinvent ourselves and, you know, have 9,000 people report to us. I think... We're here to back the management team and be part of the board of directors and give them strategic direction and help them with revenue growth and transformation and risk and governance. So I think on a personal note, of course, is the fact that we'll be here on a weekly basis to try and drive and help the business. But we certainly, from a reinvest, we looking to back the JobKey more than being ourselves, being here on a full-time basis.
All right. But you'll sit on the board as an
absolutely.
Executive director?
As executive director of the business.
Right. Okay. And who's leading the business now? Has there been a change of CEO?
We're looking at the moment to obviously fill up that particular gap. I think we obviously, it's a very, I guess in our industry, we've got to be careful in terms of people have restraints that they have to serve. So, I think once the dust is settled and the right individual comes on board, we certainly will announce that to the market.
Okay, that's a process in works right now.
It's a process, yeah.
Okay. And is Reinvest looking at other investment opportunities right now?
Yeah, we've got quite a bit on. We have a lot on our table currently. I think we're probably sitting with a fair. I think the key going forward, we can't do all transactions, is to pick the winners and what we consider business that we can add value to. So, I think my phone hasn't stopped ringing. Certainly, we have opportunities being brought all the time to the table. But we certainly do understand that we can't do all of them. I think we've got to be specific of where our focus areas are and where we certainly can add value. We can't actually stretch ourselves that we do a disservice to some of those assets that we invest in.
Yeah.
And then we're using, of course, a lot of our own balance sheets. So we've got to be wiser in picking the right right technology businesses to invest in.
Yeah, but it's a tech-focused.
It's very tech-focused. It's tech-focused, yeah.
All right.
I mean, the only thing, I mean, of course, I've just come on the Exaro board as an independent, but we're going to be a tech-focused business. Mm-hmm.
And what's the investment methodology? Is this a private equity type of play?
More of a holdings.
Investment holdings.
Technology holdings. We certainly, we're not in a private equity game. I think the key for us is to get involved with businesses that we share the same values in terms of people that we invest in. And we're taking a long-term play in some of these businesses. So I think our horizon is not on a private equity play. Mm-hmm. It's more of a holdings business with a view that we will get, decent returns out of those assets we invest in.
Through dividend flows.
Absolutely.
Mm. Okay. So can we expect another acquisition announcement soon?
Yeah, I think it's all timing, but I think we like to obviously keep most of the stuff as much as we can as private. I mean, we're privately owned. We have no intention of being in the listed space, certainly. So, I mean, currently we are looking at evaluating assets on an ongoing basis. And I'm sure before the end of the year, we'll probably do two more acquisitions before the end of the year.
You ran a listed company, BCX, for many years. You seem a bit reluctant about charging back into the market.
Well, I think, there's no doubt about it. Being part of a listed vehicle, even through Telkom, post the BCX transaction, There's a lot of value and there's a lot of learnings that one picks. But the reality, I think, is that we're trying to have a stress-free life as much as we can, and purely because of the fact that you know, we do understand the listed environment, the requirements. It's onerous. I think you are accountable to your shareholders. You're in the public domain. And I think most of the time, you know, being a listed vehicle, you know, your earnings are key to your shareholders. I think most businesses are under tremendous pressure to make those earnings because what the market expects. So the market expectations are quite high. So we would obviously like to spend our time in improving those businesses behind the scenes and not in the public domain, but certainly add more value. I think what we've learned as a collective coming from a listed, there's a lot of value we can bring in privately owned businesses and some of the governance and risk stuff that we bring on board. So certainly we're not in a hurry to go back and be listed at the moment.
No, out of the scrutiny of the public eye.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got to be on roadshows, you've got to see your subcommittees, and you can still put that governance in privately owned businesses.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key to it, is that we put good governance in place, and we will certainly be able to get to where we need to in terms of dividend flows and returns that we're putting effort in those assets.
What role do you serve inside RandVest? Are you the chairman? Or
yeah, I'm the chairman.
The chairman of RandVest.
Yeah.
Okay, and the capitalization of the company, is it all through the owner's equity, or have you gone to other investors to?
Look, it's a mixture. We're obviously in discussions with institutional, with commercial banks, and I think institutions that do see do buy into. And to our vision, so I think that's quite important. You know, we do have a commercial bank that's taking a huge interest in assisting us going forward. We've had private money, so it's quite interesting. I think one thing you do realize is that how much private money is available in backing entrepreneurs who have proven track record. So, you know, in typical businesses that you normally get involved, it's always friends and family and people who are happy to put some money because they put money behind you or the individuals as a grouping that they believe in. And also, of course, we had to use our own resources in building the business. So,
sure.
It's been a combination of the three, but certainly we do see a lot of traction from institutional investors as well as commercial banks.
All right. So BTSA announcement this week. Has a value been attached to it, or is that not disclosed?
We haven't disclosed that, but it's a significant
amount. Yeah. Okay. And more acquisitions to come later this year.
Yeah.
Well, Isaac, thank you so much for talking to
Good to see you.
Isaac is the former CEO of BCX and now chairman of, is it RandVest Holdings?
RandVest Technology Holdings.
RandVest Technology Holdings. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much, Duncan.